Welcome to Prac Ready, Clinical Education in One Coffee. Special edition today from isolation. It's Matt Cooper here with Craig Taylor. Good afternoon, Craig.
Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Good on you for getting the tape measure out and having us 1.5 metres away from each other. Well, what a time we are living through right about now. My gosh, it's crazy out there. And we want to touch base with all our listeners and put a bit of a chat out there about some things different. So not so much a clinical conversation today, Craig, but more around some of the things to be mindful of, to look out for, to help you get through this period of uncertainty and a bit of therapy probably for you and myself, Craig.
That's what I was going to say, Matt. We've got more time in our heads than we're used to, and this is one of the things that we can do to keep ourselves mentally stimulating.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, thanks for donning the lycra today and riding on down to Docklands to record.
I was not getting on public transport, Matt.
So. No, fair enough. And thanks for that, Craig. No, look, and it's really important. I think the one thing I've sort of noticed around you know, your various channels, your social media and these sorts of things is when people have moved into isolation, how we've really battled to be bored. And I think it's an interesting point because we are constantly stimulated. We've spoken about this previously when we had Martin from the Resilience Project on the podcast. And I think you and I have touched on it as well, Craig, over a number of episodes. Being able to have some strategies in place to occupy yourself in these times of uncertainty. And so we wanted to, give you some ideas about what we're doing and how we're sort of going through these things and a number of different strategies that we both have in place.
Yeah, because I think if in the next 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 months, however long this sort of major sort of shutdown lasts, if you're constantly just on the internet, looking at the news, looking at Twitter, looking at the negative and sometimes sensationalized news that we're going to be bombarded with anyway. And don't get me wrong, I think it's very important that we stay abreast of the key messages, but you don't want to just be drowning in all of the sort of oppressive media. And you know, that might mean that you, I don't know, put in some barriers, like maybe you're only going to use social media for an hour a day or whatever it is and whatever you decide to do. But it is important that you develop those habits early.
Yes.
Because if you don't, then you might find that you're a month in and, you know, the isolation itself will probably start creating some anxiety, some depression. Yeah. And there are significant amounts of our society that are going to be going through a very, very tough time.
And exactly right. And I think the big thing that, you know, I've already noticed in private practice, even within the last couple of weeks, Craig, is how people who are working at home get out of those habits super, super quickly. And it's a very important point that you make. So when you think about it, you know, work is probably one of our biggest habits that we have during the week. And so we tend to structure our lives around work, you know. And so the obvious thing is now with exercise, for example, with the gyms being closed and these areas that people would know that they go at, you know, 7 a.m. every day, I turn up to the gym and I do my workout, that option's been closed from you. So it's about finding alternatives while still maintaining it. Now, one thing I've been doing, Craig, and I'm sure you're the same, you know, I'm a runner, people know that, you're on your bike a fair bit. I've made sure the alarm goes off at the same time every day, and we've got a new puppy, so I'm not running, but I'm taking the dog for a walk. And, you know, it's just a simple way to start my day with exercise, which I know is very good for my mental health. It gets me up into a consistent routine, something that I can do for myself. You know, it's pretty dark at the moment. Hopefully daylight savings finishes soon. But get up, get moving, and try and keep that habit going. And bringing that back to a clinical situation, Craig, I had a patient this week who I've been helping with plantar fascia issues. She came back in and she said, oh, you know, it's not I'm getting a fair bit of discomfort again. And I just asked her, are you working from home? She said, yes, I am. I said, she wears an Apple Watch. And I said, well, how many steps have you been taking on average the last few days? Now, it turned out her step average had dropped by about 5,000 steps a day purely from working at home. So she wasn't loading the tissue. And you know, it just shows you, and as I reminded her the importance of maintaining habits and maintaining movement, it was like a light bulb moment for her. All this incidental exercise that she was getting because of work, gone all of a sudden. And so you have to be aware of that, folks, for your own health in particular. But then, you know, if you're still advising people, bring it back to those habits.
And to contrast a little bit in terms of the exercise and the routine, I'm often up quite early to go for a ride. I've decided that I'm still going to, you know, start my day pretty much at the same time, but I'm prioritizing a bit of sleep as well. So I'm trying, and I'm thinking of this even just for my personal immune system. I'm aiming for that sort of 8.5-9 hours, and if that means that I wake up, you know, 45 minutes or an hour later than normal, I'm still setting an alarm, and I'm sort of starting that as my new normal, because I don't have a group ride to go and attend or anything. Yep. I'm just doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel that this is a great time to, if you do say cycle or you do other exercises that can use a platform, there's a platform like Zwift, which means that you can still get some social interaction in your exercise, but it's not face-to-face, which is fantastic.
Yep.
The other thing I'd say about exercise, and I've heard a couple of patients who have said to me they really want to use this time to build up a bit of fitness, and I thought, well, it's a good idea and a good goal, but we know from an immunity point of view, the two ends of the bell curve make us susceptible to disease. So doing no exercise, obviously not great. Doing too much exercise is also a big issue. Mm. And that can be too much in one day and too much in terms of chronic workload. So
yep.
We really want to aim for, if you are wanting to do some exercise, I'd sort of prioritize it as maintaining, not increasing your fitness.
Yeah.
And keeping it at a low to moderate intensity.
Yeah, there's that moderate sort of sweet spot, isn't there? And if you're not sure about those sort of things, research it, and you know it's going to be very different in each case. You know, what you and I consider moderate might be considered low for someone or considered very high for someone. So I do suggest, you know, if it's something where you're not sure, caution towards the lower side.
Yeah.
Rather than pushing yourself into those sort of extreme points.
Yeah, definitely. And I've also spoken to the patients who I've still been advising that, okay, this is a good time that you can work on some of those mobility issues that you find hard to maybe fit into your normal day. Okay, well, let's set a schedule so that you are a little bit more disciplined in terms of getting to them.
Yep.
And I mean, that's going to suit some people, it's not going to suit others. That's fine.
Look,
but it's an opportunity.
Yep. Look, 100%, I think, Craig, one of the things we've been speaking about, in particular in terms of immunity, there are some controllables out there. You know, and that you've touched on sleep, you've touched on exercise. The two other ones were, or there's multiple, but you know, talking about things like mood is incredibly important. Talking about things like you know, stress and anxiety, and obviously that's a huge factor at the moment. So two things that I've implemented. We're only watching comedies. We are on the comedy train. Netflix and chill is big in our household at the moment, and it is you know, I've just been introduced to what is it, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah, more of that.
Yeah, man, that's a funny show.
New Girl.
That's a funny show, and another one called Atypical, which is a bit different, and that's bloody funny as well. So we've moved on to the comedy. I've stopped watching the news.
Yeah.
That's dog walk time. So the dog's very thin at the moment. He's getting plenty of walks. You know, we've moved on to the comedies, and then the chill bit as well. After it has sort of been definitely not picking up the phone, looking at social media, but more we've dusted off the old bookshelf and reading some things that I've, you know, read in the past, but getting back into it, which has been really good. And, you know, it's amazing what you forget about a book. But, yeah, so reading again, which has been great.
Reading again, board games and card games have been getting a serious workout in our household as well. I'm going to get pretty damn good at Monopoly deals and 500, I think. In terms of, like, what else we can do, because mental health, you know, we know that our mental health does affect our ability to cope with illness. And when we're talking about immunity, we're not specifically talking about avoiding the disease. The reality is that people are going to get it. And we just want to make sure that, you know, our bodies are in the best position possible to fight it.
Yes.
And so with that, I think, harking back to Martin's podcast, which I implore you to go and have a re-listen to if you haven't already. What are his three main words, Matt?
Well, it was the gems, wasn't it, Craig? So gratitude, empathy and mindfulness. Now, the gratitude thing that the Resilience Project talk about, the easiest way and one of the simplest exercises you can do is at the end of the day, or well, it can be any point of the day, is but writing down three things that you're grateful for in that day. Now, it may be something as simple as, you know, I woke up this morning and the sunrise was absolutely beautiful. I don't know if you saw that, Craig, but it was spectacular. You know, something along those lines. Or it could be that you had a great chat with your nan, or whatever it is, writing those three things down. Empathy is a big one at the moment, and it's a huge thing when you think about, no doubt there'll be people that you know who have job uncertainty. There'll be people that you know who may have already lost their job, and I've made a really conscious effort to reach out to my friends, and it's just a touch base. You know, it's a text message: how are you going? How's things tracking? Do you need a chat? These sorts of things. To show them that they're not alone in this situation, and that, you know, as a friend, I'm here for them. And that's I can tell you, one of the things that's really impressed me amongst the osteopathy community that we're part of, Craig, is that, you know, business owners, which I haven't heard from for months or in some cases years, have just been reaching out and touching base and asking how we're going. It's a little thing, but it's super, super duper important. And you know, having those conversations and then sort of showing, you know, the empathy in that situation, because they're going through it as well, has been really important.
And every clinic is going to make different decisions about what to do in the next, well, maybe by the time you listen to this, things have been forced upon us, so we don't know. But definitely there's no judgments based around different clinic situations and what they choose to do. Our hope is that we're all in this together, and as a profession, we will all come out the other side. It won't look like it does now, that's for sure. There'll be some clinics that don't survive, and that's probably the reality of it. But the truth is that when we come out and everything's back to normal in 6 months, a year, whatever it is, people are still going to need our help. So your skill set's going to be still very valuable, still very useful. It just might not be at the clinic you're at the moment, or in the exact same scenario as you're at the moment. And I think if, as long as you realise that, and everyone's honest with each other, that's probably going to be the best approach.
100%. Controlling the controllables, Craig. And I think that's the big thing, isn't it? We can control our actions, how we respond to different things. And, you know, I think you're not going to be perfect in this situation. I don't think any of us are. I think we're seeing it from our politicians and our leaders in business and all these things that, you know, because there is so much uncertainty around this, it is very hard to be perfect, but that's okay. That's okay. And the other thing, it's okay to not be okay. I think that's a really big point that we all need to be aware of. And harping back to our GEM principles, you know, that last one, mindfulness, that's probably one of the biggest challenges at the moment. And so, you know, trying to switch off and calm down, that's, you know, partly why I spoke about comedies on Netflix and reading books and, you know, some other different things that I've been trying, just to calm just to calm down. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I think just in terms of looking at how you can communicate with others, where possible, I've been trying to call one friend a day, but on FaceTime or on Skype, and just try, or WhatsApp as well, just trying to get that facial experience, I guess, of being able to read people's visual cues as well as just their voice.
Yep.
And I found that, you know, the conversation, I've been actively trying to steer away from talking about the disease at the moment, because people know about it. Everyone's pretty much across the main things.
Mm.
What we actually want is almost some escapism, right?
Yep.
And, you know, how are their family? You know, what have they been doing to entertain themselves? Because the more you talk to people, the more you'll be like, oh, actually, maybe I'll do that tomorrow, because that sounds like a great
thing. You can get some really good recommendations, can't you? Yeah, exactly right.
The other thing that I actually heard Lance Piccioni talk not that long ago. He runs the Love Me, Love You Foundation. And one of the little things that he suggests doing, and he made us all do it there on the spot, which was actually quite powerful. So if you're up for it, grab your phone, and I want you to think about five people in your life. They can be whoever you like. They can be friends, family, colleague, whatever. But five people who are specifically people that you look up to or you find as mentors for your life in some way, shape, or form. And I want you to each of those five people, I want you to just write a 35-word message about how you feel about them, okay? And at the end of that message, I want you to ask them to do the same thing for five of their friends, okay? And I know it sounds a little corny, it's like almost like a little self-help tip or whatever, but it's actually quite a rewarding experience, because the conversations that it opens up with the five friends the five people that you contact is immense. Mm-hmm. And what I'm planning on doing in the next few weeks is to do five of those a week.
Sure.
And I think the power of just saying something nice to somebody is it's immeasurable. It's amazing. And if we can just share a little bit of love around, I think that would be a pretty helpful thing at this point in time.
Well, think about it, aren't we? We do. We rely on that instant gratification for our little serotonin hit and our dopamine hit. So, you know, you just know that already reaching out to someone just might change their day. It's happened to me already in the last few weeks. You know, random acts of kindness, as simple as they are, can't be underestimated at this time. And so, you know, we may not be able to hug physically, but virtually we can. And you know, putting your arm around someone virtually might be the way, the new norm at the moment. But super duper, super important.
All right, well, on that note, Matt, I think people are probably sick of listening to us already.
Yeah, I think they are. Well, they might be. I'm sick of listening to me. So, but, you know, thanks so much for listening. We hope this does help. And look, you know, feel free to comment on our Instagram at PracReady. Send us an email, prakready@gmail.com.
Send us some tips, some recommendations.
Comedies, please. funny podcasts that, you know, enlightening would be good. But, you know, just understand that we're all in this together. Remember to reach out and look after each other, and all the best.
We'll get back together sometime soon, Maddie, and we'll have a bit more of a chat when maybe things have changed a bit.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening to Prac Ready. If you wish to contribute, Craig and Matt would appreciate the support. Head over to www.patreon.com/prakready and join our coffee club for $4 per month. That's www.patreon.com/prac-ready. Do it now. Have a fantastic day and all the best in private practice.